Thank you. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama. was hoping to read one about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. But that's not what happened. What to do? But this one is very exciting. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to go to Vrindavan. But he actually doesn't end up in Vrindavan. He ends up going to a place called Ramakeli. And in Ramakeli, he meets two brothers who are the most exalted devotees. And their names are Sirupa and Sisanatan. And they are working as the prime minister and personal secretary of the king of Godadesh, the king of Bengal, whose name is Nawab Hussain Shah. And he is a Muslim. And he is very ferocious. And no one in his kingdom is allowed to practice their Hindu Dharma. Not allowed. Here's how the pastime begins. All glories to He who is an ocean of mercy. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all glories to He whose lotus feet contain all auspiciousness. All glory to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the king of sannyasis. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, accompanied by his devotees. Mahaprabhu left with 8 or 9 or 7 or 10 of his personal associates. And he left Nadia and set out for Mathura. He walked on the path by the Ganga bank, and by bathing and drinking the Ganga, he fulfilled the goddess Ganga's desire. Near the Ganga's shore was a village named Ramakeli, a village of Brahmanas. He went to that holy place, and after 4 or 5 days, no one knew that he was there. But how long can the sun remain hidden? Soon, everyone heard that Lord Chaitanya had arrived. And with happy hearts, everyone, women, children, the elders, the pious, and the impious, they came to see him. The Lord remained always in ecstasy. He always was experiencing his ecstatic relationship with Krishna. He was always teaching us, although he was Krishna himself, how to love Krishna. And he was always in ecstasy. He roared, he thundered, he trembled and he wept. And the hairs upon his body stood erect. Again and again, he stumbled to the ground and he fell. Again and again, he performed kirtan with his devotees. Not for one moment, not even for one half a sesame seed worth of time, did he perform any other activity other than chanting Krishna's holy name. As he chanted, he wept. For 2 miles on the path, the people could hear him weeping. And although they did not understand his ecstatic devotional service, everyone felt happy when they saw the Lord. From afar, everyone offered their obeisances flat on the ground, and gathering together, they loudly sang, Hari, 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 with their hands raised in the air.
Hari, Hari, Hari.
And hearing the people chant the holy name of Lord Hari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself became happy. And he began to say even louder, chant, chant, as he himself raised his arms. And then everyone chanted still louder, Hari, Hari, Hari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested so much bliss in the village of Ramakeli that even the Muslims, what to speak of all others, all chanted the holy name of Krishna. And even the Muslims offered dandavat obeisances to him from afar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always performs sankirtan, nothing else. And from the four directions, the people came to see his kirtan. And gazing at the Lord, who did not feel his heart run to him, and gathering together, the people chanted the holy names of Krishna. And in the four directions, no other sound could be heard. The Muslim king's court was nearby. But although chanting loudly the names of Krishna Hari in public was not permitted, still no fear took birth in anyone's heart. Forgetting all sufferings, forgetting their sorrows, forgetting their homes and their duties, everyone fearlessly chanted, Hari, 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 Hari. A policeman saw them, and he went to the Muslim king, and he said, a sannyasi has come to Ramakeli, and he always chants a kirtan, and he glorifies some ghost, and many people have come to meet him. The king replied, what was that sannyasi like? Tell me about him. What did he eat? What is his name? What is the shape of his body? The policeman replied, listen, my lord. I have never seen or heard anything like him before. He's very handsome, but I do not have the power to properly describe him. His complexion, it conquers the splendor of gold. He is very tall. His arms reach to his knees. His navel is deep. The splendor of his face, millions of moons cannot equal it. He has the neck of a lion. His shoulders are like an elephant. And his eyes are like the petals of a lotus. His lips are gloriously red, his teeth defeat pearls, and his handsome broad chest is covered with the paste of sandalwood. Saffron garments grace his broad hips. His feet are also like red lotuses. His 10 toenails glisten like 10 mirrors. He must have previously been the king of some country, or at least the son of a king. He must have somehow attained spiritual knowledge, and then he must have become a sannyasi, traveling from place to place. Each of his limbs is as soft as butter. But please hear this wonder. Despite his delicateness, he violently falls to the ground. In half an hour, 30 minutes, he falls hundreds and hundreds of times. His falls break stones, but still his soft body is not broken. The hairs on this sannyasi's body always stand erect, And moment after moment, this sannyasi trembles. And 100 men have no power to hold him still. The tears flowing from his two eyes are a wonder to be seen, for they flow like many rivers. And sometimes this sannyasi laughs, and he continues his laughing for 6 hours without stopping. And sometimes, after listening to the kirtan, he falls unconscious, and no one can revive him, and everyone then becomes frightened. Again and again, he raises his arms, and he chants the name of Hari. He has no desire to eat. He does not sleep. He does not do anything. From the four directions, people come to see him. And having seen him, no one wishes to go home. In my life, I've seen so many sannyasis, so many yogis and philosophers, but I have never seen or even heard of any person before is like him. O great king, I say that this person's arrival makes your country glorious and fortunate. Now no one eats, no one sleeps, no one talks. At every moment, everyone only enjoys the sankirtan with the sannyasi. Although the king Nawab Hussein Shah was naturally passionate, even ferocious, when he heard these words, he felt great wonder within his heart. The wonderstruck king called for his advisor, whose name was Keshava Khan, and he asked, Keshava Khan, what is your opinion of the sannyasi named Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Tell me, what is the talk about him? What kind of man is he? What kind of sannyasi is he? You must tell me. From the four directions, people come to see him. Why? Please say what you think. Hearing these words, saintly Keshava Khan became afraid, and hiding his true opinion, he said, who says that this person is a great soul? He's just a sannyasi beggar. A poor man from another country. He even lives underneath a tree. Then the king said, don't call him a poor man. I feel it is a great offense to have heard those words with my two ears. Everyone should know without a doubt that he is the very same person the Hindus call Krishna and the Muslims call Khuda. In my kingdom, everyone follows my order. But in every kingdom, everyone places this person's order upon their heads. In my own kingdom, how many enemies try to stop me? If this person were not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why would all these people, from far and wide, why would they be worshipping him with their bodies, their words, and their thoughts? If for 6 months, I were not to pay my servants, every one of them would make many complaints against me. These people, they are arranging for their own eating, and then they serve the sannyasi who does not gaze at him with a loving heart. Therefore, please know, he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the truth. Please don't say that he's a poor man. And I wish to make a proclamation, the king said. This I say to everyone. If anyone, be he a qazi or a policeman, or anyone makes trouble for the sannyasi, I will personally take away that troublemaker's life. This sannyasi may go wherever he likes. He may preach whatever he likes from his own scriptures. He may happily perform kirtan with all the people. He may do whatever is in his heart. And after giving this order, the king retired to the inner rooms of his palace. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to continue his pastimes in Ramakirti. This Muslim king was named Hussein Shah. He was the same person who had broken many deities, who had broken many temples throughout the land of Orissa. Yet, even he honored Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing these words from the king, the saintly Brahminical residents of Ramakeli became very happy. But meeting in secret and discussing the situation, they concluded, the king is a ferocious man, and he is always agitated by the mold of ignorance. In Orissa, he wildly broke millions and millions of deities and temples. But somehow, by divine arrangement, the mode of goodness is currently born within his heart. He therefore now speaks sweet and good words to us. But if someone comes and gives him bad advice, he may again become wicked and ferocious. We should therefore inform the sannyasi, Lord, why have you come to this place? We should send the sannyasi a letter that says, why should you stay in a village so close to this king? Everyone agreed to this plan, and an honest Brahmin was entrusted to secretly carry the letter to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But tasting, always wildly and full of bliss, the nectar of ecstatic love for Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roared and thundered the holy names of Krishna again and again, and gathering together, thousands and millions of people sang Lord Hari's holy names along with him. In their midst, Lord Chaitanya, the jewel of sannyasis, joyfully danced with his arms raised in the air. Day and night, the Lord and the people of Ramakeli simply performed sankirtan. And seeing this, the Brahmana, who was carrying the message to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became filled with wonder. But in the midst of the continuous kirtan, he found no opportunity to deliver his letter, to deliver his message. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even stop his chanting to speak with his closest associates. He was caught within the sweetness, the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy names, and he refused to leave that ocean of bliss. He would not speak to his closest associates, so why would he speak to others? He did not know whether it was day or whether it was night. He did not know whether he was amongst friends or strangers. He did not know whether he was in the water, on the land, whether he was in a village. He did not know, because he had become wild in the ecstasy of love for Krishna through chanting Krishna's holy names. The Brahmana, not finding an opportunity to speak to the Lord, he spoke to the devotees, his close associates. You are all close associates of the Lord. When you find the opportunity, please convey to him this message. Why should you stay in a village so close to this king. All of you, please tell him that message. After speaking these words, and after offering millions of dandavat obeisances to the Lord, the Brahmana left and he returned to his own home. And hearing the Brahmin's words, the Lord's associates began to worry in their hearts. Still, they could not find an opportunity to speak to the Lord. Tomorrow, and maybe we'll tell you. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to remain in his internal mood. He did not come out again to external consciousness. And raising his two arms, all he would say was, chant the name of Krishna. Chant the name Krishna, of Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
And everyone loudly with their hands raised chanted Krishna's name.
Krishna.
Krishna. In the four directions, millions and millions of people clapped their hands and joyfully chanted, Hari, Hari, Hari,
Hari.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the remembrance of whose servants' names breaks the bonds of repeated birth and death, and whose remembrance of his names throws all obstacles far away, whose potency enables the individual soul to move and act, whom the Vedas describe as the eternal and pure Brahman, and whose Maya makes the conditioned souls forget him, have now descended to earth to deliver the conditioned souls from the bondage of repeated birth and death by allowing them to taste the nectar of pure devotional service. Who is the king that can rule over him? Whom does he need fear? The Vedas affirm death, time, and the companions are all his servants. Then, by his own wish, his own desire, the supremely independent Lord, the crest jewel of all persons, performs sankirtan with all the people of Ramakirti. But, because of slight worry had entered the hearts of the Lord's associates, Lord Chaitanya, the super soul in the heart of all, he became aware of that, and he, slightly smiling, returned to external consciousness, and he said to them, why are you afraid that the king will come and see me? Anyone who wants to see me, I will see. But not everyone desires to come and see you. Why are you afraid at heart? What can the king say that will force me to go? What will the king say that will force me to go and see him? What power has the king to order me? Only if I place the words in his mouth will this king say that he wishes to see me. What power has he to see me without my will? The Vedas search for me, but they do not see me. The great sannyasis, the great sadhus, the great teachers, the great perfected person, the scriptures, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, they all search for me, but they do not see me. To begin the Sankirtan movement, and to deliver the entire fallen world, I have descended. My heart does not care whether the people are yavanas or demons. In this yuga, in this age, everyone will chant my names. I will deliver those that are considered untouchable, those that are considered demons, the outcasts, sutras. I will deliver everyone who is chanting my holy names. In this age, I will give everyone, I will give to everyone the devotional service that even the demigods, the sages, Siddhas, the perfected persons. I will give to everyone pure devotional service that even these great souls are yearning to attain. Everyone will take it, but persons intoxicated with their own learning, their own wealth, their own aristocratic family, their own knowledge and their own austerity, they alone will not become my devotees, because they will commit offenses. In this yuga, in this age, these people will be cheated. They will not understand my transcendental pastimes. In every village, in every country on the earth, my name will be preached. I have come to this earth, but still the people do not search to find me. Why would this king come to see me? These words are all false. I will tell you that. Then, manifesting external consciousness, Lord Chaitanya spoke, and hearing these words, the devotees became happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for some days within the village of Ramakeri, and the Lord fearlessly performed the sankirtan of chanting his own holy names. Who has the power to know the Supreme Lord's desire? He did not go to Mathura, but he turned back. He did not go to Vrindavan. He turned back towards from the place that he had come, from Jagannath Puri. He turned back saying, I will go and see Jagannath, the moon of Nilachal. And saying these words, the supremely blissful and independent Lord, continuing his pastimes of sankirtan, went south on the path by the Ganges bank. And after some days, on his way to Jagannath Puri, he stopped in Shantipur, in the home of Advaita Acharya. Thank you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
At the time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the home of Advaita Acharya, the Acharya was with his son, whose name was Achyutananda. And he was experiencing great bliss in his son's association. Please listen, please happily listen, and I will tell the wonderful story of why Advaita Acharya was full of bliss in his son's company. One day, by divine arrangement, an exalted sannyasi came to the home of Advaita Acharya. And seeing that sannyasi, Advaita became very humble. First he bowed down, and then he offered the sannyasi a sitting place. Advaita said, "Oh Goswami, please accept some alms." And the sannyasi said, "You may offer me alms, but first I wish to ask you a question." "Then that is what I want for alms. I ask that you answer my question." Advaita Acharya said, "Please accept a meal first. Allow me to offer you that. Later you may ask questions and we will talk." The sannyasi said, "First I will ask my question." Advaita Acharya, agreeing to fulfill the sannyasi's desire, he said, "Ask me whatever question you want." The sannyasi said, "What is the relationship between Keshava Bharati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is said that Keshava Bharati gave sannyas, that he was the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tell me about that, their relationship." In his heart, Advaita Acharya thought, "Every question, there are two sides. There's the material side, and there's the spiritual side. We can look at everything from either of those points of view. External or internal. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has no father, nor does he have a mother, he is still called Devaki Nandana, the son of Devaki. Although from the spiritual point of view, no one can be Lord Chaitanya's guru, still everyone says that Keshava Bharati is his guru, that he gave him sannyas. Why should I begin talking from the ultimate spiritual point of view? First, I will answer this sannyasi's question from the ordinary, mundane point of view, from the external." Thinking in this way, Advaita Acharya replied to the sannyasi. He said, "Keshava Bharati is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru. You yourself know this fact, and you have seen that Keshava Bharati is Mahaprabhu's guru. So why do you question me in this way?" The moment Advaita Acharya spoke these words, Achyutananda ran into the room. He was a charming boy, 5 years old, and his limbs had no clothes upon them. He was clothed by the four directions alone, and those limbs were covered with dust from his childhood playing, and each of his limbs was handsome. And when he heard the words, "Lord Chaitanya's guru, Achyutananda," this five-year-old boy began to laugh and laugh. And then he became filled with anger and he said, Father, what are you saying? Do you think Lord Chaitanya has a guru? How can you dare to place such words on your tongue? I cannot understand why you have said that. If you say those words, if you place words like those on your tongue, then I'm convinced that Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, has truly arrived. Or perhaps Lord Chaitanya's Maya potency, which even bewilders Brahma, Shiva, and the demigods, perhaps that has also bewildered you, for no one else has the power to cross over Lord Chaitanya's Maya. If you're not bewildered by Maya, then why do you say Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a guru? By Lord Chaitanya's wish, the numberless universes enter the pores of his own body. Lord Chaitanya plays alone as he enjoys pastimes on the waters of the causal ocean. Nothing different from him exists. By Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inconceivable will, Brahma was born from his lotus navel. At that moment, Brahma had no power even to see where he was. At the end, Brahma worshipped Lord Chaitanya with unalloyed, pure devotion. And pleased by Brahma's devotion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him the absolute truth and placing Lord Chaitanya's order on his head. Brahma then created the universe and taught everyone what he had learned. Sanaka and the other sages heard that knowledge from Brahma, and they mercifully then taught it to the entire world. In this way, knowledge was passed down. Why then do you say that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? You are my father. You are my Shiksha guru. How will I learn the truth from you? Why do you say this false thing? Advaita Acharya became filled with bliss. He said again and again, my son, oh my son, oh my son. And he embraced the Chaitanya. Tears of Advaita Acharya's love sprinkled the Chaitanya's limbs. The Acharya said, you are acting as my father. You are teaching me and I am your son. Pretending to be my son, you have descended this world just to teach me. Never again will I talk as I did, my son. I promise you this. Hearing himself praised, saintly Chaitananda became embarrassed and he would not lift. The sannyasi heard the words of Acyutananda. He at once fell to the ground and offered him his full prostrated obeisance. He said, Advaita Acharya's son is a worthy son of his exalted father. As the father is, so is the son. Words are beyond the knowledge of ordinary human beings. The power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead rests in the body of the Chaitananda. It cannot be otherwise. How can such words come from the mouths of a child? With my own eyes and ears, I have seen and heard a wonderful miracle. After offering respectful obeisances to Advaita and his son, the sannyasi departed, chanting Krishna's name with great wonder. Seeing his own son's glory, Advaita Acharya abandoned all his other duties. He embraced his son and he wept. He took the dust from his son's limbs and happily smeared it upon his own body. He was saying again and again, Lord Chaitanya's own eternal associate,
has been born in my home. He has been born in my home. He repeated this again and again. He clapped his hands and he embraced his son and he began to dance. Exactly. Exactly at that auspicious moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived from Ramakeli, accompanied by his associates. Advaita Charya fell to the ground, for before his eyes was his worshipable deity, the master of his life. He offered his Dhanavara obeisance and loudly he roared, "Hari! The women chanted, "Haribo! Haribo!" And in the four directions, great bliss arose in the home of Advaita Charya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Advaita Charya to his chest, and he sprinkled his limbs with the tears from his eyes. Advaita Charya also wept as he held the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his chest. And in the four directions, all the devotees also wept. After some moments, everything became peaceful. Advaita humbly offered Lord Chaitanya a place to sit, and the devotees sat all around him. Nityananda embraced Advaita Charya, and gazing at each other, they both became happy at heart. The devotees who had accompanied Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramakeli then offered obeisances to Advaita Charya, and with great love, Advaita Charya embraced them all. In a moment, Advaita's small son, Achyutananda, offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya's feet, and embracing them, Lord Chaitanya covered Achyutananda's body with tears of his love. Lord Chaitanya would not let Achyutananda leave his chest, and Achyutananda clung tightly to the Lord's body. And seeing the Lord's mercy to Achyutananda, the devotees became filled with love. Of all of Lord Chaitanya's associates, none was more dear to him than Achyutananda. No one was like him. For Nityananda and Sri Damodar, he was as dear as their own lives. He was the foremost disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, I say that Achyutananda was a worthy son of Advaita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for some days and enjoyed kirtan in Advaita Charya's home. And when noble-hearted Advaita Charya became a little peaceful, he sent a messenger to Mother Sachi, who was living in Sridharmayapur. And taking with him a palanquin, a messenger quickly went to Mayapur and told Mother Sachi the news. Her son to Shantipur. And upon hearing this, Mother Sachi was plunged into a nectar ocean of ecstatic love. Mother Sachi was always swimming within a sea of ecstatic separation from her son. She never was in external consciousness. When she saw anyone who came to her home, when she saw that person before her, she would say, "Please tell me news from Mathura. How are Krishna and Balaram doing? What is that sinner Kamsa doing now? What news do you have of Akura? For it was that thief who stole my Krishna and Balaram. Please tell me. I've heard that the sinner Kamsa has died. Is it true that Ugrasena is now the king?" son, she would sometimes call out,
Krishna, Balaram, quickly milk the cows. I wish to soon go and sell the milk.
Sometimes Mother Sachi would grab a stick and say,
grab him, grab him. Someone help me catch this butter thief. Now he's attempting to flee. Where will you run now? Now I will tie you up.
Speaking these words, Mother Sachi,
completely absorbed in the ecstasy of separation
from her son,
would run here and there, and seeing any woman who had come before her, she would say, let us go to the Yamuna and bathe. Sometimes she would loudly weep, and hearing her weep, every heart would melt. An unbroken stream of tears flowed from her two eyes, and hearing her lamentation, even stones and dry sticks would split apart.
Sometimes the Christian self would appear in her meditation, and forgetting who she was, she would loudly laugh. She would laugh blissfully and not stop for 6 or 7 hours. Mother Sachi would faint in ecstasy. And for 3 hours she would show no sign that life existed in her body. Sometimes she would tremble. Again and again, sometimes someone would pick her up. And again she would fall to the ground. Who has ecstatic love for Krishna as does Mother Sachi? Devotion to Krishna resides in Lord Krishna's transcendental body, and it was Lord Krishna himself who gave the power of devotion to Mother Sachi. Day and night, Mother Sachi swam in the waves of the ocean of ecstatic love. Whenever she was slightly in external consciousness, she would worship her deity of Vishnu. It was just when Mother Sachi had sat down to worship, it was then that the messenger from Advaita Charaj arrived with the good news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to Shantipur. Mother, come quickly. Go and see him. Hearing this, Sachi became very happy. Then the messenger went to tell the other devotees in Navadvipa. And hearing of the Lord's arrival, the hearts of the devotees became filled with great joy and love. And taking Mother Sachi with him, the Lord's dear devotee, Ganga Das Pandit, at once departed along with Murari Gupta and other devotees, and their party quickly arrived in Shantipur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from a distance, saw his mother. He saw that she had arrived, and he at once offered his dandavat obeisances. Again and again, he circumambulated his mother, and again he offered his dandavat obeisances, and again he recited prayers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, I say that you are the mother of the universe. You are pure devotional service personified. Your form is spiritual. It is beyond the modes of nature. If you cast a merciful glance on a conditioned soul, that soul will find his heart filled with love for Krishna. You are personified pure devotion. You are Lord Vishnu's potency. You are the Ganga. You are Devaki. You are the Yasoda. And you are Devahuti. You are Krishna, Anasuda, Kashalya, and Aditi. You are the protector. By you, everything is destroyed. Who has the power to describe you? Your home is in the hearts of all. Reciting verses like this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered prayers to his mother. Streams of tears of bliss flowed over his limbs, and reciting these verses, he humbly, again and again, offered his obeisance.
mother's butt, she remained motionless, like a wooden puppet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, "Whatever little devotion to Lord Krishna I possess has come only from your mercy. The millions of servants of your servants are more dear to me than my own life. Anyone who once remembered you is no longer bound in the world of birth and death. By touching you, Ganga and Tulsi have become glorious and fortunate and capable of purifying everything. You have always been my protector, and I have no power to repay the debt that I owe you. Your own spiritual virtues will have to be my repayment for the love that you gave me hour after hour." In this way, Lord Chaitanya happily offered his prayers, and by hearing them, all the Vaishnavas who were present floated in an ocean of bliss. Mother Sati knew that her son was Lord Narayan, descended to the earth, and he could say whatever he wished. But after some moments, Mother Sati only said, "Who can understand your words?" As lifeless objects float in the ocean, helplessly carried here and there by the currents, so all conditioned souls float in the ocean of repeated birth and death, carried here and there by your Maya. Son, I reply to your words by saying that whatever you do is good. You may recite prayers, you may circumambulate, you may bow down. I know that you will do whatever you wish. Hearing Mother Sati's words, the devotees loudly cried out, "Haribo! Who has the power to describe the great heights of Mother Sati's devotion? For within her womb, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world. A person who says the material sound that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call his mother, will find by the power of the word "I" that he no longer experiences material suffering. Gazing at the Lord, Mother Sati became filled with bliss. And overcome with bliss, the devotees were no longer in external consciousness. What human being has the power to describe the bliss they felt? Mother Sati's bliss made Lord Nityananda wild and blissful, and reciting prayers that said that she was Devaki herself, Advaita Charja offered Sati Mata his own dandavat obeisances, which did not come to an end. Mother Sati's bliss made Haridas, Murari, Sri Garba, Narayan, Jagadish, Gopinath, and the other devotees blissful also. Whoever reads or hears of their bliss will attain a great treasure of pure love for Lord Krishna. Advaita Charja then announced to the devotees, "Glorious Mother Sati will cook for the Lord." And Mother Sati happily went to cook. With great love she thought, "My son, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna." How many different kinds of food did Mother Sati prepare? I do not know even the names of the different foods she cooked. Mother Sati knew the Lord liked shak, spinach, so she cooked 20 different preparations made of shak. With a happy heart, Mother Sati prepared each kind of food in 10 or 20 different ways. And when the cooking was completed, she brought all the food to the dining room. over the rice, the vegetables, and the other foods, she placed tulsi leaves. She placed the rice, the vegetables, and the other foods in the four directions, and in the middle, she placed the comfortable seat. Accompanied by his associate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down to eat. Seeing the arrangements of rice and vegetables and the other foods, Lord Chaitanya at once offered his Dandavat obeisance. He said, even without eating, simply by seeing this food, one becomes free from the bonds of birth and death. This food looks beautiful. Words cannot properly praise it. Simply by smelling the fragrance of this food, one attains pure devotion to Krishna. Just by looking at this prasadam and smelling its fragrance, one can easily know that Krishna and his associates have certainly accepted this food and have eaten it. After speaking these words, the Lord circumambulated the prasadam and he sat down and ate. With the Lord's permission, the devotees sat down next to him and just watched him. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, Sati Mata's eyes were filled with the form of her son. And one by one, with great pleasure, the Lord ate a portion of each kind of food preparation. Most glorious of all was the shak, the spinach vegetable. Again and again the Lord ate that. And just by seeing the shak, the Lord became pleased. As he ate, he smiled gently. He again and again praised the glory of the shak, and the hairs of his body stood erect with joy as he ate, because Mother Satchmo had cooked it and offered it to the Lord with such devotion, with such love. He was tasting that. And therefore, he was filled with such happiness. If one hears or reads of Lord Chaitanya's glories, any conditioned soul will break the bonds of his material ignorance. At that time, after the Lord had finished eating, a leper came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered his dandavat obeisances and he was crying in pain. He raised his two arms and in great grief he began to weep. Oh merciful Lord, he said, to deliver the whole world you have descended to this earth. Seeing the suffering of others, you also feel unhappy. And that is why that I have come before you. I am tormented by my leprosy, and my body burns with pain. Please tell me how I may be cured. Hearing the leper's words, Lord Chaitanya became angry and chastised him. You are a sinner and you will die. Even if people see you, sin will take birth within you, within them. If even a saintly person sees you, from that day he will suffer. Why? Because you have blasphemed a Vaishnava. Because of this, you suffer. Your actions are evil, and still more suffering awaits you. The Lord continued, even the word Vaishnava purifies the entire world.
Brahma and the demigods sing the glories of the lovers of God, the Vaishnavas. One who worships the Vaishnavas attains Lord Krishna, who is beyond the conception of all conditioned souls. Nothing is greater than worshipping the pure devotees of man. The Vaishnavas are more dear to Krishna than even his own body. This the Srimad Bhagavatam declares. O Uddhava, neither Brahma nor Shankara nor Sankarshan nor Lakshmi nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. The Lord continued, anyone who blasphemes a Vaishnava will suffer in birth, in life, and in death. Anyone who blasphemes a Vaishnava is a sinner. His education, his noble family, his austerities, his other virtues are all fruitless. Even if he worships Lord Krishna, the Lord will not accept his worship. By a Vaishnava's dancing, the earth is made fortunate and glorious. By a Vaishnava's glance, the sins in the four directions wither and die. When a Vaishnava raises his arms to dance, the troubles in Swargaloka, heaven, all perish. Srivas Pandit is a great Vaishnava, and you blasphemed his character, and you attempted to tarnish his reputation by making him appear to be a worshipper of the goddess Chandi. The flames of leprosy are only the root of your punishment, and Yamaraj will punish you more in the future. You are unworthy to be seen by me, and I am not the one to deliver you. Fearful, and the leper took a blade of grass and placed it between his teeth. And with great sadness and humility, he said, I do not know anything. I went mad, and I did criticize Srivas Pandit. And therefore it is right that I am punished. You are the supreme controller. Please also think of my welfare. A saintly person's nature is to rescue the suffering. A saintly person will be merciful even to a blasphemer. Therefore, O Lord, I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. If you reject, how will I be delivered? You know everything about atonement. Please tell me the atonement that I should perform. You are the father of everyone. I blasphemed the Vaishnava. Therefore it is right that I am punished. But please, please tell me how I can be freed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, a person who blasphemes a Vaishnava will suffer. This is written in all the scriptures. But that is only his present punishment. How many further torments will he suffer? O leper, if you wish to be freed from your difficulty, from your suffering, run to Srivas Pandit and fall down before him. You have blasphemed him, and it is only his mercy that can deliver you. When the foot is pierced by a thorn, with another thorn the first can be taken out. What good will come from massaging the shoulder? Now I will tell you the way that you can be delivered. You must seek forgiveness from Srivas Pandit. He is the one who must forgive you. And when he forgives you, your sufferings will flee far
away. Go to him. He will forgive you. And thus, by his mercy, he will deliver you. Hearing the Lord's truthful words, the devotees listened very seriously. And the leper offered Dandava obeisances, and he left at once. That leper begged Srivastava Pandit for forgiveness, and thus he attained the Pandit's mercy, and he became delivered, for his offenses were immediately broken to pieces. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the king of Vaikuntha, explained how blasphemy of a Vaishnava brings only trouble and suffering. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punishes anyone who, in spite of hearing all this, criticizes and blasphemes devotees. If one sees one Vaishnava quarreling with another Vaishnava, one should know the quarrel is not real. One should see it as Krishna's pastime. Satyabhauma and Rukmini quarreled, but the truth is that they were in harmony, for both wanted to serve Krishna. Their quarrel was external only. It only appeared as if they quarreled. In the same way, Vaishnavas are actually never fighting, even though they appear to quarrel. For it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that arranges their quarrel as his pastime. If taking the side of one Vaishnava, a person blasphemes another Vaishnava, the blasphemer will never perish. With one hand, he is serving the Lord, and the other hand, he is slapping him. How will any good come to him? The devotees are like the very body of Krishna. One who knows this becomes peaceful and very serious. A person who, seeing that they are not different, worships the Vaishnavas and also serves Lord Krishna's feet, such a person crosses beyond this world of birth and death. A person who hears and sings these sacred descriptions will never find the blasphemy of a Vaishnava take birth within him. I, Vrindavan Das, thus humbly offer this song at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, for they are my life and soul.
Jagannath, all the way until Jagannath Puri in his trunk.